This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Parsha Shir. Parshas Noso, a very interesting sedra, the longest single sedra in the Torah, 176 psukim. We spoke about that once in previous years, about why the magic number of 176, which is the longest single sedra, the longest masechta in Shas Bava Basra, 176 daf, and the longest capital, the longest chapter in the whole of Tanakh. Which one is it? Kuf Yates. Yeah, it's in Tehillim. Kuf Yates, whenever you're doing the Tehillim Rota, just be careful. But if it ends up on Kuf Yates, 176 psukim. So in previous years, we found explanations why, what's special about the number 176. Be that as it may, I want to just add something to an idea we mentioned, I think it was last year or the year before, a very interesting insight of Rabbi Roberts, Zichrin Livracha. The Pasuk says in Parshas Nosei that you have that sort of the centerpiece of the Parsha are the two episodes, one of Nazir and one of Sota. That you have the story of the Sota, and then you, straight afterwards, you have the Nazir. The Sota is a woman who has been warned not to seclude herself with this man, and there were witnesses that she went against that warning and she secluded herself, and the whole process that follows that warning. And then you have a Nazir, a person who refrains or makes a neder not to have wine. Now the Pasuk says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'matzah lehem, ish ayisha ki yafin neder, Linder Neder Nozir Lahazir Hashem, says Rashi on this pasuk at the beginning of the parsha of Nozir, Loma Nismicha Parshas Nozir La Parshas Sota. Why the juxtaposition? Why is Nozir straight after Sota? So Rashi famously says, Lomaloch, to tell us, Shekol Haroya Sota Bekilkula Yazir Atzma Minayayin. Anyone who sees the whole process that the Sota has to go through, which is quite graphic, it's quite alarming what actually happens to her if she, you know, insists on sort of going through with it, and she drinks the water, and you know, there's this explosion in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not for the faint-hearted. And a person who sees that, yaze atzma min hayayin, he will make a neder not to touch wine, not to drink wine. Shehu mevi l'dei niyuf, because a person can drink alcohol, his guard is down, and that perhaps could lead to immoral behavior. That's the famous Rashi based on a Gemara, I think, in the beginning of Nozir. Now, also, Roberts, a very interesting question. Wouldn't you actually say exactly the opposite? In other words, the person who's witnessed this can be so traumatized by what he or she has experienced that the last thing he wants to do is drink wine. He doesn't need to make a neder. He doesn't become a nazir. On the contrary, it's the person who hasn't seen it, who wasn't there, he's the person who should be drinking, who should be making naziris, who should be refraining from drinking wine. Isn't it the opposite? So, Rabbi Roberts quoted Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, the Tells of Rosh Hashiva, who makes a very interesting psychological insight. He says that, you're right, logically that would make sense, but actually it's exactly the opposite. That when you are exposed to something, even something very terrible, the unthinkable becomes thinkable. That what was out of the realm of the possible is now on my radar. And therefore, Dafka, you who has seen it, has to make the Naziris, has to make the Neder not to drink wine. And he brings some very good examples. He says, take a look at the next box. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golk@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. The famous Rashi in Parshas Kiseitse. Asher Korcho Baderech, when Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael as soon as we came out of Mitzrayim. Now you think about it, it was a crazy thing to do. Klal Yisrael were the invincibles. They had just brought down the superpower to its knees. Mitzrayim was impregnable. No one had ever had not escaped from Mitzrayim. And now a whole nation just walked out, one makkah after the other. Who on earth was going to start up with Klal Yisrael? They're crazy. So the Gmos Loshon Asher Korcho Baderech, first pshat in Rashi is Loshon Mikre. Tova'ache, Asher Loshon Kor V'choyim. Kor is Loshon of cold. Cold and warm. Tzinencho V'shircho Mirsisoscho. He cooled, Amalek cooled you down from the boil. Shehu Yukol Ha'umus Yireim L'lochem B'chem. All the nations were petrified of Klal Yisrael. They didn't want to start up. U'bozeh V'hischil V'herem Mokum L'acherim. And this one came along and it showed, you know, a way in for other people. Moshel Ambati gives the famous moshel, a moshel of a bath, Roisa Rusachas, which is boiling hot, She'en kol beri yichoyle leirid b'seicha. No one could go into this bath. It's so hot. Bo ben bliyal, this despicable, disgusting person comes along, for kofatz v'yorad l'seicha, and jumps into this boiling hot bath. Afal pisha nichve, even though he gets burnt, hikre oisob ifne acherim, he has the effect that it cools it down for the next guy. Well, so to Amalek, they lost the war badly, but the very fact they started up with Klal Yisrael made it possible for other people. So it's exactly the same idea. It made the unthinkable thinkable. No one in their right mind would start up with Klal Yisrael. They come along, they start up, then that sort of opens the door for other people. And he brings another raya, Rabbi Roberts. Very interesting raya, also from Parshas Kisetze. The Pasuk says that a person is chayv misa, and a person is put to death in Beis Din, and you've got to hang him from a tree. That's part of the procedure of Misas Beis Din. But the pasuk carries on and says, don't let him hang there after Shkia, just for a few hours until night time, and then at sunset you bring down the mace, you bury him, etc. Again, you'd have thought, why the rush? Let him hang for longer, because if the whole purpose of the hanger is meant to be a deterrent, one of the objectives of a capital punishment presumably is to deter other people from doing the same crime. So therefore, if you go through this, again, it seems quite distant in our westernized minds, but if that's what happens, if you're meant to hang the person, that will be a major deterrent. So why the rush? Let him hang there for a few days. Teretz is, says Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, that, again, there's a balance. Because if you let him hang there for too long, people will say, what did he do? A capital crime? Was it Chil Shabbos? Or whatever it may be, it makes the unthinkable thinkable. It enters it into your radar. That's a dangerous thing to do. We don't want to do that. And that also, says Rabbi Roberts, explains the famous question. Why is it that signposts are put up for the Ir Miklot? A person kills Beshogeg, so he's got to run off to the Ir Miklot. He kills accidentally. He's an inadvertent murderer. The axe handle, you know, came detached from the axe head, slipped off, killed someone accidentally. He's got to run off to the Ir Miklot, the city of refuge, as a protection for him. But the Pasuk says you've got to signpost the way. Fine. So he'll get there pretty quickly. Normal understanding is because he's in a hurry, he hasn't got time to sort of, you know, before sat-nav, you've got to get on with it, you've got to get there. But in days, but the converse, the contrast is Bikurim. Bikurim, we're told not to put signposts up. Why not? So the answer always given is that good news, you're going to give Bikurim, then you want to meet people. Which way is it to Yerushalayim? Oh, he's going to Yerushalayim. What a good fellow. He's doing a mitzvah. So that will inspire the people. We want him to stop and talk to people. When it comes to Ir Miklot, just get there quickly. But the added explanation could be exactly this, that we don't want him to talk about murder to people on the way. Because the very talk, the very topic, could expose people to the possibility of, and who knows where it leads. Its exposure to danger could make, like I say, the unthinkable thinkable. That's the concern. Now,
desensitization.
Yeah, it's desensitization. That's exactly what it is. Exactly, exactly. Now, if that's the case, then, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf on the base says, Midah Tova Merubah Midas Pronius. Midah Tova is if you're exposed to negative things and that could desensitize you, that could have a negative effect on you, then how much more so a positive effect of seeing something very positive? So, why do I mention this? Because I'll tell you something interesting that happened. So a few weeks ago, we cancelled Chir that week. I was in Poland with the boys. And Dan and I went with a group of 73 boys with a lot of rebbes, a lot of staff. It was a fabulous trip. And you can imagine on the trip, I'm sure many of you have been, when you go, you're seeing amazing, inspiring, educational places. So, you know, you go to, the first stop is the Warsaw Ghetto, and you go to the countless kvarim of Sadiqim and some of the who's who in Jewish history. Now, and then the list goes on. So you hope that these young men are going to be very inspired and very educated by all the things they see and do in Poland. But perhaps there was one boy who probably got the biggest lesson on the way home on the plane. Why? Because what happened was, he was sitting, and there was another Rebbe sitting on the aisle seat next to him. This boy was sitting on the aisle seat, and the Rebbe was sitting in the middle seat. And anyway, they were sitting, and during the course of the flight, the Rebbe had to go out. So he went out of the plane, and then when he came back, this kid had fallen asleep. You don't sleep a lot in Poland. So the kid was exhausted. He'd fallen asleep. So what any other normal person would do is just climb over and get back to your seat. But this Rebbe didn't want to wake him up. It didn't sound him. So he leant over, he got his Chumash Rashi, whatever he was learning, and he sat there and he stood there learning. And then, I don't know how long later, but a while later, the guy eventually woke up. He sees his Rebbe standing. He understood that he didn't want to disturb him. And even though the Rebbe was probably more exhausted than this kid, that was more of a message than the messages of, I don't know, of standing by Reb Chaim Brisker or the Netziv in Warsaw or the highs of Lezhensk or the powerful moments in Auschwitz and Majdanek and Belzec and wherever else. Sometimes, Midah Tova Meruba, you see just one thing that can actually have more power than who knows what. So, in a way, exposure to dangerous and to negative things is dangerous, it desensitizes, but exposure to good things is also a very positive thing. Okay, let's carry on. Now, the next idea is a fabulous, fabulous idea. We're sticking with tells. This is Rabbi Elie Meir Bloch. Rabbi Elie Meir Bloch was one of the tells of Rosh Shivas, and he says an amazing insight. And again, it segues very neatly into this idea from the last idea. Let's go through the psukim of this week's Haftarah. It's a very interesting Haftarah, and a very interesting message emerges from it. Let's go through the psukim. Shoftim Perek Yud Gimel. This is the background to the story of Shimshon. Shimshon, the Shimshon HaGibber, the mighty Shimshon. Vahi ish echad mitzara mimishpachas hadoni. There was a man from a place called Tzara. You go to Ramah Bet Shemesh. You see that he's buried, Shimshon is buried near there. And I think it says there, but the two places, these are all places you can see now in Eretz Yisrael. Mimishpachas Hadoni, Ushmei Monoyach. This gentleman's name was Monoyach. V'ishtei akara v'lo yoloda. And his wife was barren and did not give birth. Posa Gimel, V'ya malach Hashem elo isha. A malach appears not to him, but to her. V'yoymer leho hine no'at akara v'lo yoladet. The Malach tells her the great news that right now she is barren and not yet had children, that she will give birth and give birth to a child. And these are the rules. This is what you've got to be careful of. Hisham rino, be very careful. Va'al tishti yayin, don't drink any wine while you're still pregnant. V'sheicha, or anything strong, intoxicating drink. Va'al toichli kol tome, don't eat anything which is tome. Because you're going to give birth to a child, to a boy, and he's going to be a nozir. That's the connection, of course, to the parasha. And he is going to be a nozir, and therefore you can't have a razor on his head. He's going to be a nozir from birth, which, by the way, in halacha has got the status of, it's called a nozir shimshon, for a nozir from birth, which has certain rules. And he is going to save Klal Yisrael from the enemy, which at the time was the Pelishtim. So she goes home and tells her husband the good news. A malach has come to me and told us that we're going to have children. Amazing. And told us the rules, etc., etc. Next, Pasuk Ches. And Manoach sort of davens to Hashem and says, Be Hashem. This malach that appeared, that you sent, let him come one more time. I want to know exactly how to educate this child. How are we going to deal with it? And Hashem listened to Manoach. And the malach again appeared to the woman. And she was alone. She was not with her husband Manoach. And the malach again appeared to her. So she ran and told her husband. The malach who came to me recently, he's come again, like you davened. And Monoach got up and he ran after his wife to find this malach. Are you the man who spoke to my wife? Are you the one who gave the message? Yes, it is me. Now I want to hear it from you. Tell us about the boy. What should we do? Whatever I said to the woman, do. In other words, just, you know, rewind. Just see what I said to her. Whatever I said to her, make sure you keep that properly. Anything which comes out of grape, lo sochal. V'yayim v'sheichal teisht, and don't drink wine or strong drink. V'chol tumel teichal kol asher tzivisiyo tishmar. Okay, whatever I told her, you've got to do. Now, that's the background psukim. There are two difficulties with this episode. One difficulty is that seemingly the malach didn't add anything new. Manoach asked to see the malach again, and he didn't add anything new. He just told Manoach that she should do exactly what he had previously told her. So what's that all about? Why, you know, why bother? That's number one. Number two, if you think about it, the malach didn't actually answer Manoach's question. He said, Ma yiyeh mishpat hana'ar umaseyu, what should we do with the boy? And the malach spoke about the conduct of Manoach's wife. She should make sure not to drink wine, all the rest of it. Now, so those are the two questions. Seemingly, the malach didn't repeat anything new, just told Manoach exactly what he had previously told her. And number two, he didn't really answer Manoach's question, because Manoach's question was about how the conduct of how to educate and bring up the boy, and the malach spoke about the conduct of Manoach's wife. So the answer is, of course, there is a difference. But you've got to look very carefully. And this is what Rabbi Meir Bloch points out. Posuk Dalet, this is when the malach appeared first time round. Says the posuk, Va'ato hishomri no, va'al tishti yayin, v'sheikh v'al toichli kol tome. First time round, the malach said to Manoach, to Manoach's wife, I mean, Al tishti yayin v'sheikh, don't drink wine or any intoxicating drink, va'al toichli kol tome, and don't eat anything which is tome. Second time round, he adds something. Mikol ashe yetze migefen hayayin, anything which comes out of wine, any wine product, lo soichal, and then repeats v'yayin v'sheichal teisht and v'chol tum, etc., etc. In other words, the second time round, the malach prohibits anything that is remotely related to grapes. It's a stage beyond that. It's not just don't drink wine, but it's a stage beyond it. Asher yetzi migefen hayayin lo soichal. Now, says Reb Bloch, an amazing, amazing insight. He did answer the question. The question was, Mayyeh Mishpat Hanar? What's going to help me educate the kids? The answer is, you, mum and dad, parents, be role models for him, not just on the simple level, by not drinking wine, which is the aleph base of Naziris, but just go beyond the letter of the law. Not even touching anything that is remotely associated with wine. And therefore, if the child grows up in that environment and sees parents who are so scrupulous, are so careful about these halachas, their Yirah Shemayim is so sterling, that is the best education you can give the child. So the answer is, he did add something new, and he did answer the question, Mayyeh Mishpat Hanar, you do it. Now that, you see, interestingly, in a famous vort of Moshe Feinstein, in Parshas Emor, there's a famous kasha that Rashi addresses on the very first pasuk. The pasuk says, at the beginning of Emor, "Vayoma Hashem el Moshe Emor la kohanim bnei Aaron v'marato aleihem lenefesh lo yitama ba'amov." In the parsha of Kohuna, Moshe is told by Hashem, "Speak to the kohanim, the sons of Aaron, v'marato aleihem lenefesh lo yitama ba'amov." All the halachas of Kohuna. Rashi, I mean, there's an obvious problem. There's an obvious redundancy in that pasuk. Emor el hakohanim, v'omarto aleihem. Yes, obviously. Says Rashi, he expresses the question in two words. Rashi, in his unbelievable succinct style, just says, Emor v'omarto, question mark. There's a redundancy. Why does it say Emor el hakohanim, v'omarto aleihem? Why the repetition? Answers Rashi, l'hasher gedolim al haktanim. It's quoting the Gemara in Yevamos, that to warn the parents, that they've got to be mechanech their cotton kohanim, their children kohanim, that they also have got to keep the kohuna. So a boy, for example, can't go to a beis hakvaros if it's a kohen, even though he's not yet bar mitzvah, he's got to keep all these halachas. Good, that's the famous Rashi, based on the Gemara in Yevamos. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, but it doesn't work. You've always got to test the Rashi. So now, put it back in the pasuk. Vayoyme Hashem al Moshe, Emor el hakohanim, speak to the kohanim bnei Aaron, that's the adults, v'omarto aleihem, and speak to them. But according to the Gemara in Yevamos, according to Rashi, Va'amarto, it should be until the children. Because the point of the repetition is to be mazir not just the adults, but the kids as well. So it should be Va'amarto Livnechem or something. It says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the most amazing, amazing insight. You are telling the children. It is Lahazir Gdolim Al Ketanim. But the best way to give the message to the child is to make sure the parents do it in a scrupulous way. So Emar LaKahanim, make sure you, Kahanim, parents, keep the halachas. V'amar to Aleihem, and tell them again, just be extra careful with it. Because the best chinuch is going to be what? You know, seeing it in the flesh. I remember once hearing Rabbi Frand, you know, we were talking about Hilchos Brachos earlier in the first year. So Rabbi Frand once was, he lives in Yeshiva Lane in Baltimore, near Israel. And lunchtime he goes home. So Baltimore gets hot in the summer. After he has his lunch, he goes back to the yeshiva. About 10 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and his daughter answers, and he's there probably schwitzing, having walked out in the hot sun. And she says, "Daddy, is everything okay?" So he says, "Yeah." So he says, "Why are you home?" He says, "I just realized I forgot to bench." And he explains to his daughter, there's machlokes b'shamei Hillel, that you can actually bench where you are, but it's better to bench to come back to where you ate. Now, he could tell his daughter this 100 times. But if the daughter sees it, b'chush, that her father was particular about this halacha, that makes so much more of an impression. And that's exactly the point. Emar al kohanim v'omar to aleihem, say to the kohanim, you've got to keep these halachas. You want to make sure that your kids do it? Tell the parents to be extra vigilant. I know I've told the story before, but I can't hold myself back. The story with Reb Nevinzel, right? You knew it was coming. So my daughter was once in Sem for a Shabbos. She said she had a Shabbos chavaya, they call it, a Shabbos with a real experience. So she's going to stay for Shabbos. I called her on a Thursday. What are your plans for Shabbos? She's going to stay in the old city. You remember Mrs. Gallandow from here, from Golders Green? She's married some person from the old city. I said to some person from the old city, she's married with Nevinzel. They happen to be first cousins. And they're both on a Zivuk Sheni, and they married each other after their spouses had passed away. And she had married with Nevinzel, the Rav of the old city, one of the great tzaddikim of today. Right, he finishes Shas twice a year. He's an unbelievable person. The foremost Talmud of Hashem Zalman Arbach, etc. So I said to her, that's where you're staying for Shabbos. So Motzei Shabbos, I was keen to know how it was. So I speak to Motzei Shabbos, how was Shabbos through Nevinzel? So she said, I'll tell you finally something amazing that happened. Friday night, they had their meal. After the meal, it was a winter Friday night, it was quite early. So 8 or 8.30, the meal finished. You know, they're an older couple, in their mid to late 80s. They're tired, they're going to go to bed. Fine. My daughter was not yet ready to go to bed. So she, which is with a few friends, she goes down to the coastal, she comes back. Anyway, so sitting about 11, 11.30, they're sitting having roglach in the kitchen there. All of a sudden, the bedroom door opens. He comes out. Nevinzel, you've seen him, he's got a tremendous hadras upon him. And he's up for the day. It's 11.30 at night, he slept for 2 or 3 hours. He has a seder of learning for 5 or 6 hours before nets in his house, which I've davened at. It's like open to anybody. And you daven nets in his house at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And he has they daven there, and they have kiddush, and he has famously every week he has a Q&A. Anyone can ask him any questions, which I've done. And the point is, you see Reb Nevinzel come out of his bedroom at 11:30 at night, and he's up for the day. I could tell my daughter 1,000 times the importance of hasmoda, of diligence in learning. But if you see Reb Nevinzel, who's in his mid to late 80s, come out of his bedroom at 11:30 at night after 3 hours sleep and is up for the day for a 5-hour seder before nates, that's a powerful message. But that's exactly the point. Emor el kohanim, you keep these halachas. V'amar to aleihem, you want to teach your kids to do it. The best way to teach your kids is for you to be extra zoros, extra scrupulous. And that's exactly what's going on in the Haftarah. That's what the Malach is saying. First time round. Yeah, okay, that could be... Sorry, is that a question?
Yeah.
What was the question?
That he's saying the best way, by example, why isn't he telling him giving the father?
So I suppose the message is going to get across the mum and dad. You know, because she... First of all, he appears to her second time, and then she goes and calls him, and he runs, etc. She is on a higher level than him. He gets. It's actually this pasuk. It says, "Vayokum vayerech manoach achari ishto." So the Gemara says that a man shouldn't walk behind his wife. You know, it's considered not so tsanua. Next to, together with, not behind. And okay, so maybe that's why the malach appears to her first. I don't exactly. Yeah. The Gemara does not hold back its punches, right? So, but the point is that they're going to get the message. She tells him, he tells her, like they say, that you know, they tell each other. But the point is, second time round, he does add something. Mikalasha Yatesim Gefanayan, i.e., you be extra scrupulous about this Naziris, that is the best chinuch for your kid. And that answers his question. Ma'yeh mishpat hanara masei, what's going to be with the kid? The answer is, don't worry about the kid, worry about yourself. If you are extra scrupulous about it, then memela, that's going to be the best form of chinuch. Whatever I told her previously, you got to keep. So anything, cut and paste everything from the above, that's number one. And then he adds, Mikol Asher Yetzei Migef, and that's the addition.
They were all Nazirah.
Who?
The parents as well.
The instructions were that when she was pregnant, she can't drink wine and she can't eat anything which is Tomei. But he added, Mikol Asher Yetzei Migef, and I don't think it was him, I think it was just her. It was him as well, I'm not sure. But either way, he added second time round, if it was just her, or whether it was him as well, either way, it was more than what was first time round. And the extra was to be super scrupulous.
Okay. Why does he have called her to see how, because he's just giving him a commandment directly now, and now he's referencing as if there's more other things.
I would say on the contrary. He's saying, I'm just, first of all, whatever I told her previously, you got to keep. And now, let me add something. What am I adding? You're right. Then he carries on and sort of repeats it again.
Yeah, I mean, he's already given more, and then he's saying everything else that I told her.
Right, so it could be exactly that. In other words, you've asked me how to be mechanech this kid. The answer is, everything I've told you, plus be scrupulous, in addition to what I told you previously, blah, 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 then it's plus. Okay. Because it appeared to her and not to him?
Yeah, it came back to her.
Again, it could be linked to the fact that she was on a higher madriga than him, and therefore it sort of reinforced that fact that the malach appeared to her and not to him. Yeah. Okay, I think we'll leave it there. The third idea, Mitzvah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us kech that we should meet again next year and discuss this. I'm not going to talk about it, but basically the next idea, which we'll please got to talk about next year, is a stam naziris is 30 days. That's a regular, that's the standard naziris. You undertake to be a nozim, it's 30 days. The question is, why 30 days? So that's Mr. Shem next year. Shimshim was different. Shimshim was a nozim ebetim, which is a permanent status. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.